Hi, this is Maddie. I won't be coming in today. I'm sick.
Welcome to the show, Moonlighting fans. Whether you're a Moonlighting fan from way back when, or whether you are new to Moonlighting and you want to know what all the hype is about, you have come to the right place. Hi, I'm Grace.
And I'm Shauna. And we're your hosts for the podcast that is all about moonlighting. When we talk about moonlighting, we're talking about the Emmy Award-winning 80s TV series starring Bruce Willis and Cybill Shepherd. So if you're a fan of theirs, you're going to want to stay tuned as we review all 66 episodes.
We hope you enjoy this journey with us because we are going to be watching the series episodes one by one and reviewing them every week. Now, this is going to take several years, as you can imagine, so please join us because we are going to have so much fun along the way. We will also be releasing bonus episodes of interviews with creators, cast and crew to extend your listening experience.
That's right. And we really want to include our Moonlighting fans in this project as much as possible. So write to us and let us know what your thoughts are and even if you have some trivia to disclose. Our email address is fans@moonlightingthepodcast.com and we will include you in our future episodes.
So stay with us. Shauna and I are beyond excited to finally bring moonlighting into the 21st century for some serious discussions. You up for it, Shauna?
I sure am.
Well, let's get started.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Moonlighting the Podcast. Shauna and I would like to apologize for the week's break, but sometimes life just gets in the way. How dare it? I mean, moonlighting should be a priority, right?
Nothing should come between us and moonlighting.
That's right. Anyway, today we are here to review the first episode of the infamous Moonlighting trilogy called Blonde on Blonde, which includes the very handsome Mark Harmon as a guest star. And here, as always, is my partner in moonlighting crime, Shauna. Hello, my lovely.
Hi, Grace. Happy to be back. Happy to be recording this wonderful episode and the beginning of the trilogy leading up to some very fun things.
Yes.
Yeah, and the life of moonlighting, if you think about it, we've had a lot of filler episodes since Big Men on Mulberry Street. This is really when we get back to Maddie and David's relationship storyline. After a long time, you know, like when it first aired. So Big Men on Mulberry Street was, gosh, it seems like eons ago at this point.
Yeah.
And then to have all of those episodes in the middle. And now we're finally getting back to this main storyline and only five episodes left in the season three, which is pretty crazy, but a great five episodes. I mean, if you're climbing Mount Everest, the Mount Everest of moonlighting, we are reaching the peak here.
We sure are. In more ways than one, Shauna. Oh, dear. I was just looking up the episodes. Big Men on Mulberry Street was November 86, and now we're up to February 87.
November 86. Okay. November what? Like early November? I can't remember the exact air date in the moment.
Yeah,
but
18th of November.
Okay, 18th of November, and now here we are, February.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, this didn't air until 3rd of February, so they would have been recording this end of January. From Jay's recollection, she announced it in February, but the only date he actually remembers is February 26th when Cybill announced that it was twins. So by the sounds of it, seeing they were filming in January, I don't think they knew yet.
Yeah, a little later in February. Well, yeah, because as we've said before, they attended that Golden Globe show, and that's where Cybill says she was trying on the dress. The dress seemed a little tight, and she thought, uh-oh, I wonder if I'm PG.
Right.
And that was only January 30th, I think.
31st of January, 87 was the Golden Globes.
Okay.
So, and Blonde on Blonde came out on the 3rd of February.
So they were filming Blonde on Blonde during that time. So yes, she is pregnant here.
Yeah.
That we know.
That we do know.
But they didn't know. They didn't know yet. Cybill started to know. They didn't know. But the train was already on these tracks and was moving that direction anyway, which led to everything else that happened later on.
Yeah, and I don't think they knew when they were filming Sam and Dave either.
Yeah.
Because that came out on the 10th of February, and I don't think she told anybody yet, which is fair enough. You know, you should wait a little
bit. Yeah, it's early. And then Maddie's turn to cry, March 3rd. So, yeah, by then they knew.
Yeah.
Definitely. And I am curious, Maddie, and we'll go through this timeline, March 31st, 87.
And it's also in the book. If you've bought our book already, you'll see, I think it's in the To Eris Human chapter. The actual timeline of this trilogy is crazy.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. Not just the trilogy, but the 5-episode arc.
Yes.
It's crazy. From Blonde on Blonde to Eris Human, the time frame on that is ridiculous. And yeah, we will talk more about that. But yes, we are at a very exciting, I was really excited this week to get on and talk about this episode because it's just such a great episode, A, and B, just the start of 3 great episodes that lead up to a very, as we say, peak moment in the show, of course. And then, yeah, a really good episode, you know, to follow up and round out the season. So 5 great episodes here to talk about. So let's get started, shall we?
Season 3, episode 11. It first aired on the 3rd of February, 1987. It was directed by Jay Daniel. It was written by Kerry Aaron. Guest stars, Mark Harmon, Donna Dixon, Sam McMurray, John McCook, Andrew Massett, and Robert Wall.
Yep.
I could be wrong, but I think this is the only time that the title card is with a black background and white writing, apart from the pilot.
Hmm. So you're saying it normally runs over the scene?
Yes.
Okay.
Because, you know, it just starts with "Give me a beat," and I love that song, by the way. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just got blonde on blonde in white writing with a black background. From my memory, I think it's only the pilot that was like that.
All right. We'll have to keep an eye on it. Yeah. Blonde on blonde. You're right. Black background, just the title. And the song "Nasty" by Janet Jackson really comes in just hitting hard, right? Like we're just like right to it, you know? And the cuts back and forth between Maddie and the plane landing and Donna Dixon and everything that's going on with Donna Dixon and this man that she's with and all these things. Yeah. And Maddie in bed there, they use that in the title credits after this. So whenever I see her, you know, where she's leaning on her elbow, it's very like title credits in the future.
Yep.
I think she's wearing the nightgown that goes back to, I think the first time we saw it was in Rainbow.
Okay.
Yeah, she wears it a lot. I mean, we like that the character has their pajamas or clothes that repeat. Okay, so this is all Maddie. There's very much a shift. There's a change here. Okay. Mm-hmm. And Maddie is kind of restless in the beginning here.
Yeah. I think she's starting to contemplate her life, what she's accomplished till now. And maybe she's, I don't know if she's feeling lonely or, as she said, she's feeling reckless.
Yeah, it's kind of like she's assessing, she's feeling herself. She's looking herself in the mirror. She's trying on different clothes. She's doing her hair. She's taking a shower. She's kind of like, I'm a sexy woman. Look at me. You know, she's dancing in that black dress. I'm a sexy woman. And why am I sitting here alone? That's what I'm kind of feeling for her, you know?
Yeah.
And on the other side, we're seeing Donna Dixon and, you know, very kind of a mirror image of Maddie, you know, the sexy hot blonde in the fur coat, but very like self-assured. I mean, she's like taking this man, she's in charge, you know, there's a man and she's doing probably what Maddie is wanting to do in this moment.
It's great how they're showing the contrast,
yes,
how Maddie's feeling against how Donna Dixon's character is very self-assured. And
Maddie is probably like fantasizing about in this moment at home, you know, Maddie putting on even her, just her normal looks like workday clothes. You can tell it's like boring. You know, I'm tired of these clothes. I'm tired of their nice clothes, her silky clothes and all that for work. But yeah, it's just not how she's feeling inside. She's feeling like she wants to break free. She wants something else. And yes, there's a lot more to discuss there. Eventually she ends up in the sexy black dress, just dancing. And yeah.
And by the way, we've never seen it before, but she has a bay mirror. That's cool.
A bay mirror. Okay.
And here we call it a bay window. It's sort of indented, triple type.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So when she's standing in front of the mirror with a dress on.
Yeah, all of a sudden she's got a bay mirror.
Yeah, I know. Have we seen that before? I don't know. But yeah, she can see all angles of herself, right? Yes. Maddie is feeling it. She's feeling herself. That's all I can say. That's way to describe it.
So I really like this scene. It cuts up and back with Donna Dixon arriving at the airport with a fur coat, looking beautiful. By the way, Shauna, I would never get off a plane looking like that. We get on there with our tracky dacks and our runners and everything, and we're nice and comfortable. And she's getting off a plane like a movie star. I just laugh at that. It's hilarious.
Well, this is the 80s. Everybody's got to be dressed to the nines, full suits, you know, full dress, hair done. Nobody's getting off a plane looking like that these days, of course. No.
So she gets off the plane and you can see there's somebody following her, but we don't know why. Goes to Maddie, goes back to her. I don't know, maybe Maddie's sort of going back thinking about her modeling days and maybe she's still thinking she's sexy enough like she used to be. I think she is.
I think you're right. I think she's thinking like that. Have I still got it? Mm. And for how much longer? You know, she is like a woman who's getting towards her later 30s now.
Yeah.
And as women, later 30s, women have to think about what's next, I guess, in life, outside of business, if you want to have a family. And all of that, that seems to be how she's feeling. Yeah, she's feeling restless. She's feeling all the things that she says later to David, really. Just, we can see it here.
And the tag is still on the dress.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Didn't notice.
She actually makes movements like she does in Dream Sequence. That's a strapless number, but it's long. But the movements when she's dancing, very similar to the Dream Sequence, I thought.
Yeah, true. And then, okay, we finally get to Maddie. She calls in sick to work, which is very un-Maddie-like.
Hmm. Since when does Maddie call in sick?
I'm sick.
Hi, this is Maddie. I won't be coming in today. I'm sick.
She kind of decides that the last second, right? She's like, no, I'm not going into Blue Moon.
Want to take Maddie and David everywhere you go and make people jealous, jealous, jealous? Wear our most popular item, the Blue Moon Investigations sweatshirt. And to help with this, Agnes has written us a rhyme. Buy us some stickers, get us some hoodies, a shirt, a tote, or any other goodies. All these items and so much more are available at our Redbubble store. Just search MoonPod 2016.
See, this is how she's like restless, because a point to discuss. She calls in sick. She's not going in. All right. And then, okay, to finish off that scene, and then the Donna Dixon character shoots the man that she's with. Yeah, I just really think the contrast between this very self-assured woman who's going in, grabbing this guy, taking what she wants, in bed with him in a flash at a hotel. And then, of course, there's a lot more going on in her life that we find out later. And then here's Maddie feeling like very restless and bored, I guess.
It's very well written at the start, because you understand her feelings, why she's feeling that way, and she's not feeling sexy, and she tries on the black dress, and then you see this other woman and you understand what's going on, basically.
Yeah, they've set the scene for what's to come.
But you know what cracks me up? Donna Dixon shows up at this guy's hotel room or apartment, whatever. And is he seriously not a Fabio?
Oh, I know. Yeah, he is, very much so, which is probably, you know, the time, right?
Oh, yeah. And he's not credited anywhere, this guy. Can't find him.
Oh, really?
Poor guy gets shot. He's on there for like 3 minutes. He's gone. Yeah. That's it. Gone.
Give me a beefcake. Give me this guy. For later. Yeah, he's very Fabio, which was, you know, that was a look.
I love how Donna Dixon looks at him. She does the eye thing. She just sort of looks at him. I love her look there. It's really good.
Yeah, she's a straight shooter, pun intended. Yeah.
She... Oh, Shauna. Oh, that was bad. Oh, I like Agnes's message before Maddie says that she's sick.
Blue Moon Investigations, we'd love to speak to you. That would be keen. But since we're not here, talk to this machine. When you hear the beep, leave your name and number. Don't hang up. That would be a bummer.
She's so cute.
Yeah, and that is a question. What time was Maddie leaving this message? And what time is Maddie up, you know, feeling herself and trying these clothes on? And has Maddie slept? Is she up at the crack of dawn doing this? Or was that the night before?
Oh.
And then she went to sleep and woke up. What did she say? I won't be in today, right? So it is that day. It is like the morning.
Yeah. I gathered it was the morning. She got up at her normal time and started trying on dresses.
Okay. And was kind of like, no, not another day like this. I'm not feeling that, this, that, the other. Okay.
Mm.
So that must have been early. Yeah. Leaving a message on the machine and everything. Well, yeah. Okay. Let's think about this a little bit more because of times that are shown on clocks and things like that. Like some things aren't adding up, but that's moonlighting.
Sure, you know? Is.
Okay. So the question in my mind always is like, okay, Maddie calls in sick. She's not going in. She says she's sick. Okay. But what's the very next scene? Feed out of the elevator, Maddie coming to work.
So what happened in between her lying in bed with her little black dress, ringing Agnes to say she's not coming in, to the time she gets out of the elevator? Is there a missing scene there or what? She changed her mind.
I think and why did she change her mind, Grace?
Well, that's what I want to know. She does come in late.
Who did she want to see?
Gee, I wonder.
Who did she want to see? Who did she want to notice? I wonder if she called in sick and David never called to check up on her. And she was like, I'm going in. It's got to be all about David, right?
Shauna, there can't be any other reason. No.
Of course not. Of course not. Of course not. Okay. So Maddie shows up and she gets out of the elevator and she checks out a guy in the hallway. If you notice that, a very David thing to do. A guy walked past her and she was kind of like, did that half glance back like David does with every woman he passes. So Maddie shows up and lo and behold, she's wearing a hat.
A hat.
Which is just funny because she doesn't normally wear hats to the office. I mean, we've seen her wear some hats in past episodes like the pilot.
Yep.
She wore a hat in the dream sequence.
And she wore a beanie in Read the Mind, but that's not a hat, but still.
But she has to wear the hat because it's pivotal to the plot. Okay, Grace?
Otherwise, how's she going to walk out of the club without David knowing it's her?
Exactly. The hat very much comes into play later, so it's just hilarious. She's wearing this hat.
Anyway, that's our first feed out of the elevator for this episode.
Okay. Now we get to this poker scene. I don't know. Lots of thoughts. But really? Really? Like, this woman was about to take her bra off. This is the Zounds What Mounds girl, by the way.
That's right.
This is her last appearance in the show. Okay. The first time we saw her was We Think the Sun Also Rises. And now Blonde on Blonde. Yeah. So our personal opinion is that this was someone that Bruce was dating and he got her on the show. And she was one of the office workers season 3, as he says in Atomic Commentary. So here's this girl and they're playing cards and, you know, she's about to like be naked. Like, honestly, Grace, in the main office, what if a client walked in? I'm going to be Maddie now for a minute. What if a client walked in? Limboing is one thing. They're all sitting there in their underwear and this woman is about to actually take her bra off and be naked in the main office. I mean, this isn't like, you know, season 1 where like they don't have any clients. A client could walk through the door.
But Agnes is naked as well.
Yeah, Agnes is naked, maybe fully naked, like putting her clothes on behind. And the men are cheating. Get this woman to like take her bra off and all the things. Anyway, very bad office behavior, David.
And he's fully dressed.
You're right.
Poor Bert's down to his singlet. The other guys are the same.
All right. We've got a few issues here. We've got more than a few issues here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Maddie comes in. She swings the door open. Everybody turns to look at the door. Yeah. But when we get the view of the workers, the office door is closed behind them and no Maddie standing there. I'm not sure if we put that goof in, just something I think I noticed, you know, watching. Mm-hmm. When the office workers turn around, Maddie should be standing in the wide open door. We see her swing the door open, stand there, and then they all turn around, look towards the door because they hear her come in and the office door is completely shut. There's no Maddie.
Oh.
So that's one thing.
I never noticed that.
Yes, different cut and all the things, right? And now she's clearly standing in the door. That's what we see. Okay. Then they cut back. David gets up and starts walking towards Maddie. The clock on the wall, the time says 18:52. So that's 6.
That's 7 o'clock.
Yeah, almost 7 o'clock. So 6:52 when?
That's 7 p.m.
Oh, yeah. Okay. About 7 p.m. So yeah, what is going on? Is Maddie coming in later in this day? No, because then Maddie goes out and comes back and it's night. So yeah, this whole, I don't understand this time frame or the clock in the office. Does it usually go by this 24-hour clock, military time, as we call it in the States?
Well, normally you wouldn't see it. You know, they're working during the day. So we don't normally see the PM part of it. It's always like 9:30 or 10:52 or something.
I think we've seen like 4 p.m. before. I don't think it's ever, I don't think they normally use the 24-hour clock. We don't normally use that in the States. So I think we've seen like 4 p.m. or something. Remember when like in Every Daughter's Father is a Virgin, she came in and it was like 4 in the afternoon or something.
Yeah.
Even if it's like 4 p.m., it would say 16.
That's true. Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, we've seen it say like 4:30 before. So they don't normally use this 24-hour clock. This is all very strange anyway.
Yeah, it is a bit.
Yeah. Anyway, those are my thoughts. I mean, obviously, you know, with the office works and stuff, it was filmed at different times, but at least have Maddie standing in the door there.
The only thing I noticed was when they do the wide shot, the girl gets up as if she's going to take her bra off, but then she doesn't because Maddie walks in. Then they do a wide shot and she's not there, but she walks in front of the camera very quickly to go to wherever she's going. That's the only thing I thought. I thought, oh, the Zounds What Mounds girl's missing, but she wasn't. That was a good little touch there, Jay.
Yeah, everyone's participating in this. And then they do another little thing that I think is, this seems like a very season 5 thing to do. And I think it's a little bit cringy, if I'm being honest.
Okay.
They have one of the office workers walk past the camera and he's wearing the boxer shorts with hearts on it.
Yeah.
Like David wore in Witness.
In Witness, yep. I didn't know what to think of that. I thought, oh, they're just making a bit of a joke because David wore those boxers in Witness, but I don't know why they had to do that.
Yeah. And, you know, in our book, we put a write-up about like David is such a big influence on these Wobblies, which could be true, that they even emulate his underwear choices.
Yeah.
Are they that enamored with this guy that they're even copying the underwear he wears?
Actually, one thing we should do is go back to Witness and see if this guy was one of the Wobblies in that episode.
That's true. Yeah. Because if he had seen like, oh, David wears these and I want to be like David, so I'm going to wear these.
Because he walks from his office to Maddie's office and he says, don't say a word.
Yeah.
And we've got to see if he was one of the Wobblies. Then, you know what, Shauna, that would make sense.
Okay. But it's still really lame if you're like copying your boss's underwear, but okay.
I get you.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Yeah. The reason I say it's like a cringy kind of season 5 is because in what episode is it? It's Between a Yuck and a Hard Place. Remember when Maddie grabs hold of David's pants and pulls them off and he's wearing the heart underwear again? I don't know. To me, it's not that funny. It's not worth the joke.
What's not funny? This guy wearing the heart boxer shorts?
Well, I don't think it's funny. And I don't think it's funny in season 5 when he's wearing them again. It's like, what, every time we see David's underwear, he's wearing these heart boxers? Like, I don't know. The joke is played out to me.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I don't know your thoughts, but it's just kind of like they're just grabbing for this low-hanging fruit. Moonlighting is smarter than that. The writing is smarter than that. We don't need this heart boxer short showing up. Why do we have this thread running through Moonlighting of David's heart boxers? That was just kind of a one in an episode moment where it was funny. But why recall that joke twice is my question.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. But then again, when Maddie's grabbing onto his trousers and she takes his trousers and you see the boxes, wouldn't you rather see the boxes with the red hearts than just plain old boxes? You know what I mean? They had to bring it up again. I mean, it's not like he's wearing them every day, but it seems like
every time we see him. Okay. To me, it's not funny. Everyone out there, please tell me if this is funny. When you see these boxers, like, oh my God, look, now the guy's wearing the boxers. And now I have different thoughts that we will get to in between Yuck and a Hard Place. It's not a time for comedy because that episode is very heavy. And then suddenly they're trying very hard to throw us back into the old moonlighting after they've like put us through some heart-wrenching stuff, right? So I think that it is a very cheap attempt at humor in between Yuck and a Hard Place. But let's not get distracted. We'll put a pin in that.
Yeah, okay.
And we'll come back to it when we come to that episode. Let's not go down that path. But to me, it's not a joke that needs to be recalled. But again, that's just my opinion. Sounds like you think it's at least humorous enough to see again. You like it or indifferent or what?
What, this episode or the season five?
In this episode, do you think it's necessary for this worker to have the heart boxer shorts?
I think they're just trying to add a bit of humor. And because they had him walking across the front, walking past the camera to get dressed, I think that was the wide shot. He had to walk past Maddie and Agnes and all that. They thought, well, we better put some funny boxer shorts on him. They could have put a different type instead of putting the red hearts. That could have been an option. I know they're trying to bring this joke back, but they could have put some other funny pattern on it.
I don't know.
You know what I mean? Like some other cartoon character or something like that.
Mickey Mouse or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's silly. It's just silly, but that's okay. I guess it's not worth spending 10 minutes on.
Let's move on.
But you know, we're here for the minutia, right? But anyway, yeah, other people can tell us their thoughts because maybe I'm just missing the joke. I'll just end my thoughts there. I could go on, but we've got a whole episode to cover here. All right. So anyway, lots of things going on in this short scene, right? Maddie shows up to work. We've got the question as to why. We've got some continuity issues. We're back to David's bad office behavior, but even worse now. I mean, honestly, limboing was one thing, but now strip poker in the main office, that's pretty bad.
And he's making out that he's checking for body lice.
Yes, just a body lice check or the air conditioner stopped working. But I guess like the point is Maddie didn't react as she normally would, which is probably scarier than her reacting. He's like, I'm sure she meant to yell at us, right? He's even commenting on the fact. And Maddie just gets her mail and goes in her office.
Yeah, and David says,
Let's not all panic. I'm sure she meant to scream at us.
Yes. And David was wearing the green visor. He wore that in, I think it was...
Lady in the Iron Mask, I think.
Yeah, Lady in the Iron Mask. Yeah, when they were betting on the fight, the big fight. He's wearing it and he's kind of like heading towards Maddie's office. And then, of course, you know, when he enters Maddie's office, it's gone.
Oh,
but he may have taken it off. I'm not really saying it's continuity. I'm just saying.
Oh, gee, I'm off my game, Shauna.
Are you?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Now he's trying to make up stories as to why he'd organized this little poker game. Minor health hazard. I figured a spot check would be easier than evacuating the whole office. But Maddie keeps looking at her mail and she's totally ignoring him. And I love his mannerisms here when he goes,
okay, you got me. It wasn't a lice check. It was an air conditioning drill. Kind of like a fire drill, only this is in case the air conditioner doesn't work.
And when he says,
good idea.
And he's like, good idea? What? So this is when he knows that there is something deeply wrong with Maddie. Mm-hmm. But she wants him to leave and stop bothering her. But yeah, he's worried about her because she just witnessed a major breach of office decorum. And then he walks in and lies about it.
You just witnessed a major breach in office decorum. And then I walk in here and lie to you about what we were doing. You know the rules. You watch the show every Tuesday night. You're supposed to yell and get angry now.
A lot of fourth wall breaking.
Yeah.
In this.
Yes, because he looks at the camera a couple of times as well.
Talks about sweeps, talks about egos. The papers say, I have a big ego. And, oh, just because you don't feel like arguing, you're going to ruin everybody else's day. And, like, includes us.
Just because you don't feel like arguing, you're going to ruin everybody else's day. Well, that's a little selfish, don't you think? You're raining on our cloud, Maddie.
A few of my thoughts. First of all, they both look great. But especially when he steps into her office, he looks great. I do remember very distinctly when this episode aired. I remember watching it because it had been a long time since we had a normal episode. And it seemed like, you know, okay, Moonlighting's back. We're going to be back on track a little bit here, you know, after a lot of like filler episodes and DePestos and probably repeats at the time. But life was different now. Bruce was getting very famous.
Yeah.
He was very famous outside of the show. I don't know. I really remember this particular scene in her office where he's kind of circling, you know, the desk. And it was like he was on a different level now. And it was almost like things were changing, Grace. You know, I mean, it wasn't even just in the show. It was like in life. It's like, I don't know. I feel like this is the first time we'd seen them in the office as Maddie and David like this in so long. Now we're saying like November. But, you know, when you're just living your normal life as a teenager from November to February is a long time. And yeah, I just remember like, well, the show seems different, or, you know, they're different and he's different, or we know him better now as Bruce outside of David Addison. I don't know. Something was distinctly different. And maybe it was just in the ether of life because things were different and things were changing very fast, you know, and like more than we knew in the moment. Yeah. I love this scene. I like them in it, but something's different, you know? I mean, yes. I mean, they're commenting on it. She doesn't want to banter with them. She doesn't want to go down that path. She doesn't want to be upset, but some really clever fourth wall breaking, kind of acknowledging like, though the papers say, I have a big ego, you know, kind of like things that are being said about them outside the show. The feeling that something is changing is very palpable. And I just remember at that time feeling it as well.
I feel that his demeanor has changed. He looks terrific. I don't know whether he's going to the gym or whatever. He's got more people around him now, and you can see that he's oozing confidence. Not that he lacked, I don't think Bruce has ever lacked confidence, but I think especially now, I don't know whether it's starting from now, but maybe we've noticed it for the first time. I don't know, but
yeah,
his popularity is growing. He hasn't done Die Hard yet, but obviously once that happens, wow. But he's heading on up. That's what's happening.
Exactly. Yes. You said that perfectly. Like, not that he's ever lacked confidence, but suddenly the confidence is on a different level coming outside of the Addison realm. It's Bruce. Maybe it's more Bruce than Sybil. You know what I mean? Like the mesh of the two. He was just getting so famous. And I guess you can just almost see it. This is where he started to get just so famous. It's almost like, well, like, thanks, Bruce, for showing up for Moonlighting. You know, it's almost like he was getting bigger than the show or something, you know, at the moment. Yeah, it's really interesting. And he and Sybil are still on par. They're still on the level. But at some point, he kind of surpasses. And yeah, anyway.
It would be hard to imagine how she would have felt once his popularity grew and then he did the movie. And
I'm sure his ego was getting out of control and everything. And, you know, they allude to it. The papers say, I have a big ego.
That's great how they make fun of that, though. He's pretty much getting back at the tabloids, you know.
Yes, lots of things that they say in February sweeps. This is what we do every Tuesday night. We banter. Come on, Maddie.
If you're not going to get angry, how are we going to have an argument?
If you're not going to get angry, how are we going to have an argument?
We're not.
We have to.
And the physical comedy of him sitting down, then they both get up and they go around the table.
I love the circling. Yes. Yeah. It's very much like a slow motion chase.
Yeah.
You know, and he's trying to bait her into doing what they normally do. And gosh, I mean, that's their foreplay. You have to have the banter, but now she's let go of her end of the rope. She wants to not argue, Grace. I like not arguing.
David, not arguing is good. I like not arguing. Not arguing is something a lot of people aspire to.
Come on, Maddie. Circle the wagons. Put them up. Put on the gloves. The honey's on the table and the people want to see blood.
Talking about us.
Yeah, I guess we do. Yeah, we want to see that fighting. Yeah, but she's not giving it to him. But she's there for a reason. We know that. As we said, it's all about David. Like, she wanted to see him, but then he's up to his regular antics and she probably wonders why.
Look, I stare in Roger's dance. Sears and Roebuck sells. Masters and Johnson.
Knock it off.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Exactly. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with me. Nothing at all. And the papers say I got a big ego.
There's nothing wrong with me.
Nothing at all. And the papers say I got a big ego.
I love it when she says, so would you mind?
No axes to grind? No bones to pick?
None. It's a boneless day. And I'm in no mood. So would you mind?
And she puts her hand out, you know, gesturing towards the door.
Are you someone who wants to know everything about everything? Are you constantly searching on your phone while you watch TV to find out more? Moonlighting, an episode guide, gives you the inside scoop on each episode and goes into detail about everything Moonlighting. Would you like to know more about the actors, cultural references, music, and more? This guide will be a constant companion while you're sitting down watching Moonlighting.
I need to make sure I get their book.
How many door slams were there? Well, you have to buy the book to find out.
I'll have to make sure I get it.
Even Sybil herself can't wait to get a copy.
Well, I can't wait to read it.
Go to tuckerdspress.com or amazon.com to get your copy of Moonlighting, an episode guide.
I can't wait to get it.
I like it when he's like feeling your temperature. He's like, do you have a fever? Stand up. I want to take your temperature.
Yeah, when he did that, actually, that's hilarious. Yeah. Now, you mentioned that. When he did that, he goes, stand up. I want to take your temperature. It reminded me of a Marx Brothers movie. That's something that Groucho Marx would do. It was just, I don't know. I don't think it was a Stooges thing, but yeah, when he did that, it just reminded me of Groucho Marx or one of the brothers. It's just funny.
Yeah. I was going to mention, or I started to mention, Maddie's hair changes quite a bit.
Oh, not during... again. Oh, not again, Shauna. Come on.
Yeah. Yes, it does. I'm sorry, Grace. But that is par for the course. Now, happily, Grace, on both sides, I think it's them the whole time. I don't think there's any doubles. Do you agree? Like
agree.
When behind Maddie's head and seeing David, that's Sybil. Her hair looks like Sybil's to me. It's curlier from behind and then it's straighter from the front. And then it almost looks a little shorter. Yeah, it kind of changes throughout. Maybe filmed over a couple of days. And it's a pretty long scene. They'd probably need a day or two, don't you think? Or I don't know.
Yeah, I thought I wrote down how long the scene went for. I thought I did. Anyway, it was a nice long scene and they're in it together a lot and quite liked it.
It's really good. They're trying to set something up here, which is a little frustrating. I don't know. Yeah. We start off with Maddie calling in sick. Then she shows up. Then David baits her into an argument and she gets upset and she leaves. And then she comes back. And then, I don't know, it's just like, I love this episode. There's so many great things to it. And, you know, obviously it kicks off a lot to happen later, but get to it, like cut to the chase here. I don't know. Is this a long lead up? What's happening here?
Okay. I think it's because also she's not in the bulk of the episode in the middle. She's not in it. Mm-hmm. So they had to use her for a certain sure. amount of time. And then she's not at the end. She's
And why?
Right.
They didn't know she was pregnant. Now they're all back filming. Why isn't Sybil in half of this episode? Why couldn't it be like before when they were in the episode the whole time? Was it because of this plot? You know what is weird, Grace? It almost seems like this plot, without them knowing it, without them knowing that she was pregnant and all of the things to come, it was almost setting it up to get her pregnant and have us used to Sybil not being in half of an episode or whatever, you know? Yeah.
That's very true. Yeah. I've never thought of looking at checking the dates and the timing and the pregnancy.
They started down this path before anything, you know, with Sybil getting pregnant was ever even thought of. It's always kind of interesting to me because it's like, how did life and art conspire together at the exact same time? It just so happens the exact same time in the series and the life of the series that they were going to get them together anyway. This has nothing to do with, oh gosh, we better get them together so she can get pregnant. So now we have an excuse for her to leave. No, this was all like planned way before even Sybil got pregnant because they had to start writing these episodes. You know, so why did they already plan to have Sybil gone for half of an episode when they're just back filming together
and bringing Mark Harmon into the
Mark
mix?
Harmon.
Because they didn't know that she was pregnant yet.
Exactly.
It's sort of the universe put it all together and said, hang on, do this storyline because somebody's going to tell you something by the end of February that's going to put a spanner in the works of moonlighting.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's like they started down a path that they eventually needed anyway to make other things happen. And I guess if they weren't sleeping together at this time of the show, they would have come up with something else, another reason for her to disappear. But yeah, it's just funny to me. It's like, how did they start down this path and leave like a window open for there to be like a lot of confusion for Maddie to be able to leave? I don't know. But anyway.
And you know, it's very weird. True, because whenever I used to watch it, I used to think, oh yeah, she's pregnant here and that's why they've done it this way. But they couldn't have. But maybe their choice was to bring Mark Harmon into it and then get rid of him and get them together. That was their thing, not knowing that she was pregnant. But why is she not in this episode for very long? This is the question. Exactly.
Right. This is the question. I definitely think that it was always intended. Mark Harmon, Glenn, right? Glenn's thinking. Mark Harmon is, let's remember now, people's sexiest man. Okay. Who better to compete with David than the sexiest man in the world? This is so like Glenn, right? How are you going to compete with that? You know, but only David could.
Yeah, exactly. You know? A man's man.
Yeah. A man's man, you know, people's sexiest man, Mark Harmon, you know, very handsome guy, very popular back in the day and everything. So I think that's Glenn's humor and everything. Say, well, let's bring on the sexiest man alive and have a love triangle to force David to recognize his feelings. And yes, for all of this to happen, they knew that even when we talked to Ron and Jeff, they said, we knew that they were going to sleep together. And then they wrote towards that. Yeah. Okay. But back to our point, if you knew, okay, you were going down this path that they were going to sleep together and all of that. Here, we've had a ton of filler episodes, DePesto episodes, straight poop, off the main storyline, Atomic Shakespeare. It's a wonderful job and everything else in between, Grace, my God. Yeah. And here we are, February, new part of the season. Yeah. Why is Sybil gone half the episode? Why did they write it like that?
I think I calculated, I thought I wrote it down, but I haven't. I think she's only in it up to 20 minutes of the episode. On and off.
Yeah.
On and off, obviously. So why technically, did they need to- she could be on screen maybe only 10, 12 minutes for the whole episode. Because the rest of the episode, when David's walking down the street in the streets of LA, for sure that's her body double. That's not even Donna Dixon. Very interesting.
Maybe my only thought on it is if, you know, okay, we're writing in this way. Okay. Season 3 was a season full of problems behind the scenes. We know this. So maybe they were going into this part of the season, trying to give them breaks from the beginning because they knew that full-time schedule was a burnout.
Yeah.
Because I was looking at, okay, what's the next episode? Sam and Dave. Bruce got a couple breaks. Like, It's a Wonderful Job.
He got a lot of breaks in the last couple of episodes.
Yeah, Straight Poop and then...
Straight Poop, Poltergeist. But before that, The Wonderful Job. It's a Wonderful Job, Straight Poop and Poltergeist. He got a big break.
Yeah, so Bruce has had breaks and he's probably filming Seagram's commercials and becoming Mr. Movie. Well, he wasn't a movie star then. He was becoming Mr. Big Ego Bruce Willis through other things that were happening in his life. You know, good for him.
He was a character larger than life.
He was becoming very famous. So this is maybe what makes it make sense is, all right, let's not overtax them going into this second part of the season. Sybil's already on edge. Her and Glenn are fighting. Lots of trouble on the set. So maybe that's what they're thinking. Let's have, you know, Sybil light work on this one. The next one is Sam and Dave, which is a little bit David heavy.
Yeah.
Because that's David's POV. And then of everything that's going on. And then Maddie's Turn to Cry is more Sybil heavy. And that's like Maddie's POV of everything that's going on in their relationship. So maybe that's why, you know, and then I'm curious, Maddie is his own animal, which we'll get to at that point. But although I really like this episode, back to what we were saying, it's a little disjointed at the same time when you really look at it. They start off, Maddie's not coming to work. Then Maddie shows up. Then we have this office decorum breach, which is typical David. Then the tides are turning a little bit. Maddie doesn't want to argue. David baits her into an argument. She gets upset. She leaves. She comes back. We don't know what time, but it's dark. And he's waiting for her. How does he know she's going to come back? Why? Like, well, these people never go home.
That's
you know?
Right. I mean, how did he know that she was going to come back in It's a Wonderful Job?
Right.
Same thing.
Yeah. Anyway,
yes.
We digress.
It's a question for the ages.
Yeah. Is she kind of regretting coming in? Like, obviously, she wants to see David. She has something on her mind. She wants him to see it, know it, feel it. He does. He's not getting it out of her the right way at this point. She gets aggravated and leaves. So that's kind of where we're at now.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts?
I think subliminally, subconsciously, she wants to see David. That's why she came in. Maybe she wanted to talk to him about it. But after his antics and the way he's talking to her, she's like, no.
I know. Yes. She puts her wall up, like when she's looking at the mail, and she's trying not to be baited into this dumb argument because that's not what she wants to talk about. She doesn't want to talk about his dumb office decorum. She doesn't want to talk about February sweeps or whatever. She wants to talk about how she wants to have sex, basically. And she's tired of living the way she does, you know? She's tired of being alone. Let's just put it that way.
He thinks that she's angry with him for something he didn't do. Did I not make a sexist comment? Did I not act immature?
David, believe it or not, there are things that happen in this world that have nothing to do with you.
You can't prove that. You don't know what I do when I'm not in this office.
She says, why am I here?
I know. It's true. I mean, it's not the conversation she wants to be having. She's got other things on her mind, bigger things on her mind, much bigger things.
Yeah.
And he's being kind of silly and she's walked into some stuff she doesn't want to see. And yeah, she's like, bye-bye.
I mean, his antics are really not important at the moment, considering the things that are going through her mind.
So. Exactly.
I love how he goes, look.
Every morning it's the same. Fall out of bed, drop into Visine, have a knockdown, drag out with Maddie Hayes. It's the shine on my shoes. It's the syrup on my pancake. Kind of completes the day. And when I don't get it, I got to wonder why.
And you know how Glenn was saying that the dialogue was musical. But when he performs his monologue, he sort of performs it like a song. And he lands on her desk, lying back, looking up at her. I love that.
Yep.
Our arguments are a routine, a bad habit, that's all.
Damn right. We can't just quit cold turkey. We need to withdraw slowly. We need to wean off gradually. A few verbal slurs, an occasional offensive remark.
I love the whole circling of the desk and how he ends up basically laying across her desk with her looking down on him and her just like, no. Bye-bye. I'm going out. I don't know where I'm going, and I don't know when I'll be back.
David, I just like to be alone.
Doesn't have to be a brawl. Could be a tiff. A small tiff. A tiffette.
Yeah, it's almost like he's addicted to it now. He needs it. Give it to me, Maddie.
Yeah. But at the end, the look on his face, he's really worried because she's not reacting to anything he says, yes. And that's just not normal.
He does look worried when she takes her hat and coat and leaves. This isn't normal. This isn't how things normally go. Maybe he almost feels like she's slipping away a little bit, you know, because like we say, that's the foreplay, right? If she's not engaging with him in the back and forth banter, then something else is happening. Mm-hmm. And yeah, he doesn't want her to slip away. That might be like his first little feeling that she is slipping away a little bit if he doesn't make a move, you know? Yeah, he knows the tide is turning. Something's happening. Yeah. Something's different.
She does say to him, look, maybe something is bothering me, but have you considered that I might want to just deal with it by myself?
True.
He's not dealing with that very well because David goes silent there. Once she says that, he doesn't say anything. Mm. He's speechless.
Yeah. Well, maybe that's when he realized he has hit on something. Something actually is bothering her. Mm. It's not just an off day. There is something deeper.
I knew I shouldn't have come in. I don't know why I did. I'm leaving. I don't know where I'm going, and I don't know when I'll be back, okay?
So that's the end of that scene. She walks out, and he's left alone.
But, and here we are, only 7 minutes into the episode, Grace. We've gone through all of this. And then the very next scene, feet out of the elevator again. It's like deja vu.
She's back.
Where has she gone, Grace, and why has she come back?
Thank you for listening to Blonde on Blonde Part 1. Join us next week for part 2.
Well, until next time.
I'm Grace.
And I'm Shauna.
Thank you for listening to Moonlighting the Podcast.
Step onto the legendary clay courts of Roland Garros, where the world's best players battle it out for a chance to win the French Open title. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV, live in HD. Don't miss a moment with daily live coverage and match replays on demand, beginning Monday, May 20th. Be there for all the unforgettable moments. Stream now with Tennis Channel Plus.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.